From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news update. The Alaska Supreme Court issued an order today allowing the campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy to begin collecting signatures. In a separate filing, the court agreed to hear an appeal seeking to block the recall on a sped-up schedule. Oral arguments will be held on March 25th. Recall Dunleavy campaign manager Claire Pywell says the group is grateful.
The movement is now full speed ahead, and we're going to be collecting signatures in February.
The court directed the state's Division of Elections to prepare petition booklets immediately to recall Dunleavy. Pywell expects to receive the booklets in a week.
We ask all Alaskans to stay tuned and make a plan to sign again, bring those two friends, and help us collect these signatures in record time.
The campaign gathered more than 46,000 signatures to apply for the recall. It will need more than 71,000 to hold a recall election. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Eric Arseth last month reversed the State Division of Elections decision rejecting the recall. The state and Stand Tall with Mike, an organization supporting the governor, appealed that decision. Then Arseth issued a stay halting the collection of signatures until after the Supreme Court decided on the appeal. Today's order allows signature gathering to proceed. A shutdown of most of the Alaska Marine Highway system has created numerous challenges for residents in coastal communities. Gaps in ferry service have stranded travelers and disrupted the movement of freight. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, a lack of accessible transportation has also jeopardized medical care for seniors and people with mobility issues.
Haines has the oldest population of any borough in Alaska. The median age is 48 and a half. There's a thriving retirement community and many local services for seniors. James Studley is the executive director of Haines Assisted Living. He says the facility offers an option for seniors to receive care in their hometown rather than moving to a large city.
When people leave their hometown and they get away from their friends and that contact of family that they might have, their health degenerates rather quickly.
Most of the time, seniors in Haines can take care of their medical needs at the local clinic operated by Southeast Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH. But Studley says sometimes they may need to go to a larger hospital with more resources.
There's a couple of instances where they have specialized, doctors in a particular field that SERCH wouldn't have. And there's also certain tests that can be done in Juneau, but not in Haines.
When seniors need to get to Juneau for those specialized appointments, they have to travel by boat or plane. If they have mobility issues, that limits their transportation options.
A lot of the elders have walkers and they're in wheelchairs and they don't have the ability just to get around on an airplane. Even our small puddle jumpers that we have here, the only option that they have is a ferry. We have relied on that ferry system for our medical needs that SERCH isn't able to deal with.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has not provided service to Haines for over 3 weeks. This has made it extremely difficult for people with mobility issues to travel from Haines for medical care. Studley says the lack of reliable transportation affected him personally. Recently, his daughter Nicole broke her leg and had to get life-flighted to Anchorage for treatment. She left the hospital in a wheelchair. Studley says the two of them got stuck in Juneau for 10 days last month while trying to return to Haines. Nicole couldn't fly on a regular passenger plane, so they had to charter a private flight with a local pilot to get home.
That's a pretty expensive flight, and what other option would you have? And that's, something that comes out of pocket. There's no insurance for that.
But waiting in Juneau until marine transportation becomes available isn't any cheaper. Studley says getting stuck there can be particularly risky for people who rely on local services in Haines for their care.
Staying in Juneau at a motel where there is no help, or maybe at a friend's house where they have difficult living conditions but they don't have any other option, it can be a life-threatening situation.
Margaret Siebens works for Southeast Alaska Independent Living in Haines. The organization assists and advocates for seniors and people with disabilities. At a recent rally for ferry service, she shared anecdotes about Haines residents with mobility issues, missing medical appointments, and struggling to cover the cost of staying in Juneau when transportation is not available.
This is severely impacting people with disabilities and senior citizens, and we need to make change happen.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has canceled ferry service in most of Southeast Alaska until March. At a meeting of the Senate Finance Committee last week, Department of Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon said it is possible the wait may be even longer.
There's a good likelihood from the press release yesterday that we will not have service in Southeast in March.
In the meantime, DOT has been exploring options for chartering private marine transportation services such as Allen Marine. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And never trust a fox. Earlier this month, four boys from Nunam Iqua left their home by snow machine during a winter storm and ended up lost, 18 miles south of town. They weathered the storm for over 24 hours until searchers found them huddled together in the snow. KYUK's Greg Kim talked to one of the boys recovering from hypothermia and said they got lost chasing a fox.
Laying on his hospital bed, 7-year-old Ethan Camille looks down at his hands, 9 of his fingers wrapped in bandages.
I only remember a little bit because the weather make me forget a little bit things.
His mother, Irene Camille, sits next to him. She's also the grandmother of the 3 other boys who were lost. Her memory of that day is clear, the day her son and grandsons left home and didn't return.
That day was supposed to be a good day. It was my birthday.
But both Irene and Ethan said the weather looked ugly that day.
Bad. A storm.
Ethan turns to his mom.
How can we let us go outside?
Irene sighs. She's been asked that question a lot since that day. Part of the reason, she says, is the boys had been staring at their phones all morning.
We don't like them to be on their phones too much. We like them to exercise and play in the snow and have fun outside.
And so she took away their phones and sent them out. She checked outside her window every now and then to make sure she could see them.
Then they just disappeared.
Ethan says he and the boys had been riding their snow machine around town for 4 or 5 hours. Just as they were about to head back inside, something appeared that lured them away from home.
We found a real fox and we tried to catch it, but it ran away.
Ethan and the boys chased the fox until they eventually caught up and hit it with their snow machine.
We ran.
Thinking it was dead, Ethan jumped off to pick it up. But the fox wasn't dead.
That's why it bit me.
The fox bit Ethan twice. When it ran away, the boys continued to give it chase, driving miles and miles further away from town.
So that's how we got lost. Because we were trying to get the fox to show my mom. Their dad.
The fox disappeared into the storm's empty whiteness, which had worsened since they left home. That's when Ethan says the snow machine got stuck. 14-year-old Chris Johnson worked so hard to free the machine and pull the younger boys out of the deep snow that he suffered a hernia. Soon they ran out of gas and had no phone or compass. Still, the boys were determined to get home. They abandoned their vehicle and started trudging towards what they believed was Nunam Iqua.
Ethan, how did you know which way to walk when you ran out of gas?
We didn't know.
At one point, Ethan stopped to go to the bathroom. As he took off his gloves, the wind snatched them out of his hand.
And I said, Chris, help me.
But neither boy could find the gloves. They were starting to lose their vision in the whiteness of the blizzard.
We almost got blinded. We almost got white eyes. White eyes.
After 4 miles of walking and no town in sight, Chris, the oldest, decided they should hunker down.
We tried to dig a hole, but it was too hard.
Inside the hole, Ethan says he was originally on top of 2-year-old Trey Camille, below the older boys. But afraid Trey would suffocate, Ethan joined the outer ring of the huddle, gloveless, so that the baby could breathe.
And I got tired, so I went to sleep right up here. That's all I can remember.
Irene said 8-year-old Frank Johnson was the only one who remained conscious through the night. She said Frank kept prodding the other boys, knowing that if they closed their eyes, they may not open them again.
The last couple of hours, I think I almost lost hope.
Miraculously, Herschel Sundown and searchers from Scammon Bay found the boys the next day around 4:25 p.m. In a few hours, the boys would have faced their second night outside.
It was like they were ready to go if we took a little longer, if we didn't find them any sooner.
Back in the hospital room, despite having 9 of his fingers bandaged, Ethan insists on trying to open a Coke bottle by himself. Irene says Ethan and the other boys will make a full recovery. And when they do, she says they can go right back out into the storm.
I'll never ever feel regret that they were outside in the storm. I'll always let them play out in the storm. That's where they were born. That's where they come from. That's where they're gonna be. There's always gonna be a storm.
Irene says, if you don't understand, that's because Nunam Ikwa is not your home. Reporting for KYUK in Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Adeline Baxter.